Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is sponsored by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 28. This is recorded on Monday, October 3rd, your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I try to do that without looking down at my notes, but I always get nervous. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards. I'm back in my cave.
Yeah, you are.
Sorry.
Hi, Ron.
We never would have known because you look like you're right here.
It's magic.
You need a magazine?
Yeah. Can you turn the page?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Here, let me turn the page. All right. Well, this week we're going to be discussing the HTC security flaw ice cream sandwich. Now I want one. And we have an interview with Ryan Oldenburg, who's the developer of the new HipMunk Android travel app. Yeah. Plus, in the arena, there is a grab bag of apps. I'm going to win.
Yeah. We'll see about that. I don't know.
There is that one.
Yeah. Two paid for apps and one free one.
I'm working on building a streak after my huge victory of last week.
Wait, who won last week? Oh, you did win last week. I won the week.
That was me.
Fine.
We'll see. I'll get back there someday.
Before we move forward, next week we're going to have a little bit of a different show. We are going to be live at Android Open. A couple weeks ago we had Brady Forrest here from O'Reilly, and he asked us to be on to participate at Android Open, which is going to happen in San Francisco at the Hyatt Regency, and we said yes.
Yeah, we said yes, and we were like, okay, this will be interesting, taking the show on the road.
You got to admit, as someone who's done podcasts and then has done transferred to the live show environment, it is always interesting that first live show. Never quite know what to expect.
Chad, if you go to the Monday tab there under schedule views, if you're watching the video, and then you scroll down to 5 o'clock.
Are we in the schedule?
Are we on the website?
No.
Yes, we are. Look, All About Android Live Show.
Oh my God.
We're off on a little island there. No one else is.
This is a little podcast that could, you know, have Leo on it or Tom, and we're doing this here, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're working on some pretty awesome guests too. I don't know if we can necessarily announce at this point.
I don't know yet.
But we should have some pretty interesting people to talk to, and I would say expect that episode to hit the feeds the next day because we're going to be in San Francisco. It's going to be a little different. So next week, All About Android episode should hit the feeds late Tuesday, probably in the evening, unfortunately, but that's how it goes.
That's all right. It'll be worth the wait, I promise.
That's right.
All right,
let's go
to the news.
All right, so this hit over the weekend. A security hole in certain HTC phones has been discovered by Richard Eckert and unveiled on xdadevelopers.com. He did give HTC a 5-day window to kind of react and respond to the vulnerability and didn't hear anything back, so to no avail. So he went ahead and threw this out there. The hole basically allows any app with basic internet permissions to access the HTC logger file that really details just a ton of juicy tidbits. Essentially, what this is, to just kind of back up, when you're starting an HTC phone from scratch, or at least I know it was this way with a Thunderbolt, that you get stuck on a page that basically asks you to, you know, either agree to or not agree to logging of how you use your phone so that it can, you know, improve the usability for HTC, send that back to HTC, and they can kind of, you know, use that information to make the process better for you. So they store a ton of, you know, interesting information in their GPS locations, IP addresses, Wi-Fi state, Wi-Fi networks that are, you know, around you, email addresses, SMS, your ESN for your phone. I mean, just a ton of really specific detailed information is logged in that log file. Some of the affected devices here for this hole, and I'll get into a second, HTC Evo 3D, Evo 4G, Thunderbolt, Evo Shift, Shift 4G, My Touch 4G Slide, some of the Sensation line, and who knows about, you know, future phones, whether they're going to be affected or not. HTC has responded to say that that they now, you know, recognize that this is an issue and they're looking into it. But the actual security hole comes in the fact that any app with that very basic, like I said, internet permission. So, you know, when you download an APK and it says, you know, give us permissions for whatever, it's just that basic connect to the internet permission. If an app has access to that, the app has full access to this file that keeps all this information. Not necessarily a good thing. Personally, mm-hmm. I don't care that HTC keeps this information on my phone because, you know, like they say, you're opting into it and mm-hmm. whatever, it's on my phone. They keep this information on your phone whether you opt into it or not. It's mm-hmm. whether it sends back to them. You know, that's what you're basically opting into, is send us that information. So mm-hmm. if you opt in, HTC gets the information. If you opt out, information is still kept on you, but it's not sent anywhere. That does no good when any app with internet permissions can actually get at that file. So that's kind of the rub here.
So what about all your information from the Thunderbolt, even though you've given it to your wife? That's all they all have. They have that information even from.
Well, you know what? I know when I set up phones, I usually don't agree to those okay. things to send back the data. And I mean, even if they did, it's not the end of the world. I would trust HTC personally. Mm-hmm. I would trust HTC, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, have different feelings when it comes to that kind of stuff. That really doesn't bother me as much. But you know, I guess the thing to kind of pay attention to here is there really is, that we know of, no particular app mm-hmm. yet that is extracting this information. But now that this is kind of public knowledge and out there, it becomes even more of an elevated kind of thing for you to pay attention to what kind of apps you're installing. And mm-hmm. just know that if your app has access to internet, that's really the requirement to get at all this data that you're seeing in the video right here. It's just a gigantic log file. But there's a very good possibility that there's nothing to be alarmed at. But it is an issue on HTC side, and it is incumbent upon them to fix this or encrypt it or something. It's not Android at fault here. This is kind of how HTC has not locked down this particular file.
And a couple of questions in chat. What about rooting the phone? Does that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the big way that you can actually do something about it now. If you're unrooted, there isn't a whole lot you can do, right? You're just basically waiting for HTC to mm-hmm. actually come out with some sort of a patch and to push it out. And who knows, in all reality, how long that's going to take. But if you're rooted, or if you are thinking about rooting, this is one great reason to do that. If you have root access, you can get to that file and delete it. Or you can install a different ROM on your phone, and that, you know, that ROM, if it's like a CyanogenMod 7, mm-hmm. you know, an AOSP ROM isn't going to have that log file as part yeah. of its setup. So
has there been any reports of anybody getting burned by this? Like, has anybody had data access that they didn't want because of it, or they just discovered the security flaw?
Not that I know of. I haven't read anything. I mean, it was really just kind of brought to light over the weekend. So
yeah, because generally with these privacy issues, I tend to take a bit more of a devil's advocate approach with these, where it's like, you're right, it's, you know, you absolutely don't want to reveal email addresses or SMS messages or your GPS locations. That's all personal information you want to keep secret and whatever. But there are millions of people out there, and I always kind of chalk it up as like, my information isn't as interesting, you know what I mean? Like, that's you know, that just because they can get to it doesn't mean they're going to.
Sure.
And so it's a balance between, you know, you live in fear. People can get your social security number through non-digital methods, right? You know, like you write social security number on a form at a bank. You know how many people see that form? So it's just I think it's another obstacle that, you know, and you're right. I mean, HTC needs to patch this. They need to fix it. Absolutely. Yeah. But these are the risks that we run as we figure this stuff out. And until we hear reports of people getting, you know, completely, you know, hacked and logged and all that sort of stuff, and then, you know, that forces the companies to make sure this never happens and that balance happens. But right now, being a little too worried about security, I think that's the kind of thing that you just need to be aware of and turn that off.
Yeah. So I don't think it's necessarily the type of thing that anyone should really like worry like crazy. I've seen a lot of people react to it immediately as like, oh, well, then HTC sucks and blah, blah, blah. I honestly don't think that it's anything malicious on HTC's part. I honestly think it was probably some sort of a stupid oversight. It is a stupid oversight. That much data shouldn't be left open, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure it'll get patched relatively.
There's some developer who's like, oh, wow, I could do a lot of this stuff with this information, so I'm going to log it, and then we'll make it so, you know, and like they probably had noble, you know, noble motivations going into it. Nobody, you know, nobody ever wants to put anybody in security danger or anything like that. So, I'm sure they'll fix it. I don't know. Who knows?
All right, well, moving on to ice cream sandwich news. Apparently, there was a lucky eBay shopper who bought a Nexus S through eBay, and lo and behold, you know, turned on the phone, and oh my goodness,
what
it looks
know?
A little different than normal, than the Nexus S that you would come to know and that we know already, because the phone actually had ice cream sandwich in it.
Mm-hmm. Did this get confirmed?
Sorry. Like,
what as far as I know, yes, it got confirmed. And then actually what happened was it was remote wiped.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you're watching the video, we're looking at the camera. We're looking at the different. It looks different than, you know, currently gingerbread on the Nexus S.
I liked the lock screen, options. By the way.
The lock screen is great.
The look of the lock screen.
There's a lot of similarities to Honeycomb, particularly when later in the video he pulls up widgets and it looks exactly like it kind of looks exactly
you
like it
does.
You
get the widget preview. Stuck.
Yeah, you get that widget preview, but in, you know, phone form.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also look, they've got the search up at the top. It looks like, it looks a lot like Honeycomb. Wow.
I mean, either this is an actual ice cream sandwich leak, which I mean, it really does look very convincing, or someone was very, very good at kind of customizing their phone to look like all of the rumors that we've been hearing about ice cream sandwich, which could be.
You've got to wonder how this phone got on eBay then.
Yeah, I know. Like, how does that happen,
There's examples of Honeycomb right there.
I don't know. But, you know, Google, it didn't take Google long, supposedly, to wipe this. So I guess things like that happen.
Yeah.
how did they find the exact device ID to wipe it? That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you did.
Someone got in trouble. No, I don't know.
I think this is interesting. As with Honeycomb, side swipe through your pages, not up and down. It's not a vertical on your app drawer. It's now horizontal.
There's the widgets that look.
Yeah, that looks very Honeycomb-y.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. This video actually really piqued my interest, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing all these enhancements.
Apparently, there's a list of the APKs that are going to go out with ice cream sandwich.
With the Nexus.
And hints at facial. Yeah, I saw the facelock.apk on that list, and then Chrome bookmark sync.
Yeah, finally. Chrome bookmark sync into the OS, which it's a long time coming.
So. It's very blue, like Honeycomb.
Yeah. Should we change our colors behind?
I know, right?
We might have to.
We'll change those every iteration of Android. We'll have a different color.
There we go. We changed to blue. Hey.
All right, nice.
So someone in the chat room said it could be marketing, and I had that same thought. Like, I wonder if this is some elaborate viral marketing thing, but.
If it is, I don't care. We get a sneak preview of ice cream sandwich, something that everybody wants to see. Any Android fan really wants to see these improvements and changes. So cool.
And there's another device that's about to get upgraded. We are recording this on the eve of the iPhone announcement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's...
Yeah.
I think that's happening here.
Yeah, especially when you consider iPhone announcement this Tuesday, something that we'll talk about here.
Yes.
Foreshadow next week. So there's a lot happening right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Very well could be.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as things get busy, Microsoft is never one to let sit back in their laurels. And they strike back in the only way they seem to know how, through legal action. And they actually signed a huge patent deal with Samsung that actually allows them to get royalties on every Android device it sells. Samsung joins the list of other companies that are paying Microsoft these sort of royalties for every, to settle all these kind of patent disputes that have been out there in terms of what Microsoft has done on the Android platform. So now that every time you buy a Samsung device, or if you buy an HTC device, some of your pennies are going over to Redmond, and Microsoft is cashing those checks. Yeah. It's a clever way to get to be profitable in the Android game, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's about $3 to $6 per Android phone sold, and their estimates to be like $444 billion that they're going to get.
And MG Siegler over at TechCrunch wrote a post where he kind of compared Microsoft tactics to extortion, could be interpreted that way. It does seem very mafia extortion-esque, but the thing is, people wonder why Google and other companies were fighting over those patents a couple of weeks ago and things like that. This is why. Patents, having these patents and being able to charge license fees is how people build businesses around it. So it might suck for Samsung, for HTC, but it's a viable business model. So.
And General Counsel Brad Smith of Microsoft said, quote, "We haven't seen an Android product that doesn't infringe on our patents."
And I just think it's terribly. I think it's awfully wonderfully ironic that Microsoft, who has done their best to get their Windows Mobile platform on board, sneakily owns Android patents and is making money off of Android without ever making an Android product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's working for them, and it's obviously it's smart because it's working for them, and they're doing pretty well with that. We actually got an email from Derek in Baltimore along with this story. It says Samsung is now paying Microsoft to license these patents that are allegedly infringed upon by Android. Knowing this and the fact that every major Android phone vendor is paying for some form of patent licensing from Microsoft aside from Motorola. Motorola Mobility is actually left out of that right now. Interesting. Is it safe to still buy Android? Will these be abandoned even quicker as manufacturers feel that Google isn't backing them up? Would you still buy a new Android phone if you knew you'd be stuck with it for 2 years? I don't feel like it's unsafe.
Are you asking me, Jason?
I'm throwing it out
there. I think we extrapolate, is the show safe? Or should we?
Yeah, yeah. Do we have two years left?
Is that we know when the show ends now?
We have an end in sight. We know how we're going to get to the last episode. It's just like Lost.
We know how it ends.
Exactly.
No, in the end, we turn into a Microsoft Windows Mobile show. That's how it ends. And then my brain explodes. I don't feel unsafe buying Android. I just kind of think this is kind of part of the patent landscape nowadays. And, $3 to $6 on every Android phone is great for Microsoft. It's not... Maybe I know, I'm probably going to get flamed for saying this. It's not the end of the world for me as a consumer to have to pay that as a premium. Although if there is that premium, then maybe that means even more of a premium for the consumer. But I don't think it stops me from buying Android at all.
But the thing is that it's just because this recently happened and it's in the news, do we know about it? Do you know how many of those products that we use every day that this same thing happens? How many monitors, how many laptops, how many PCs, how many consumer electronics all have patents paying to each other, to other people that they're licensing the technology from? This isn't like an unknown tactic that's never been used before. It's just we're aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just how the game is played.
Yep.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Does that apply here?
That sounds good.
All right, cool.
Yay, patents.
There we go. All right, we'll go ahead and take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix, for sponsoring this episode of All About Android, streaming thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, which saves you time, money, and hassle. There are a ton of ways that you can get this streaming media, your PC, your Mac, Xbox, your PS3, your Nintendo Wii, your Android phone or tablet or device, all the iOS devices, just a ton of ways, Roku box that you can get all instant streaming. And there's just a bunch of titles that you have instant access to.
But they've got Lost on there.
Yeah, we were just talking about end dates.
Oh, yeah. Is it the season 1 through 6?
All of it.
There you go.
If you want to go on a total Lost binge, you were one of those people that held out and didn't watch any episodes, and now you can kind of watch it start to finish, go ahead and check out Netflix, because you can do that there. You can begin watching Lost on your Android, and then when you get home, the train arrives home, you can just go inside and sit down in front of your TV and finish it there. Whatever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want, anytime you want. You can cancel anytime. So try Netflix today for 30 days for free. and listen to the Stars intro go and be really loud.
I'm about to watch Tron Legacy right now.
Okay, so. Great. Oh, I haven't seen that yet, if you can believe it. So I'll have to go on there.
So
and watch
good.
That.
Here
oh,
it
so
is,
good.
Jason, on my phone.
Go like to netflix.com/twit and watch Tron Legacy. Be sure to use this URL, netflix.com/twit, when you sign up for a free trial. And we thank Netflix for their support of Twit and All About Android. And we hope that you enjoy watching these movies and shows instantly.
Here comes, oh no, it's the Walt Disney. I thought it was the light cycle.
I thought that was so cool how they made the Magic yeah. Kingdom castle, the Tronny. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
See, now I got to go watch it.
Put it in your queue.
I wasn't going to miss it at the theater.
Put it in your queue. Oh.
And I did. I ended up missing it. Because we were going to go as a Twit thing, and that
oh,
didn't
right.
end up happening.
And we didn't go,
If that didn't happen, I knew I wasn't going to get to the theater, unfortunately. I had a newborn little girl, so that's my excuse anyways. All right, let's move on to hardware.
No.
Well, in case you've been living under a pile of kindling, see what I did there? sorry, I had to do it. Amazon announced a whole slew of updates to their Kindle ebook line, including the Android-based Kindle Fire, which I believe has the potential, and I think a lot of people agree, has the potential to be seriously disruptive to the tablet space this holiday season especially. It features a 7-inch display, TI OMAP 4 1 gigahertz dual-core processor, 8 gigs of internal storage, an infrared sensor touchscreen. It's not capacitive. I think that's very interesting. I'd love to play with it and see how that goes. And Wi-Fi. That's Wi-Fi only. It doesn't have 3G connectivity. It lacks a camera, which I personally never use a camera on tablet, so I wouldn't miss that anyways. Features a very highly customized version of Android that looks nothing like the Gingerbread version 2.3 that it's built on. As you can imagine, the tablet centers tightly around Amazon's ecosystem of ebooks, video, music, basically anything else that you can buy through their online store. So, and I would say the kicker here is its price tag.
Oh, yeah.
$200. Disruptive. $200. Like ridiculously disruptive. And I don't know.
It's so cheap that a ton of tablets are starting to come down. The Nook Color came down today, $149. Yep. The HTC Flyer came down $200.
$299. Yeah, right.
From $499 to $299. I don't know if that adds, if that includes the stylus or not. And
the stylus is $200.
Yeah, exactly. And then was there something else? There was another one, I think, that dropped. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but it is a great price point. I ordered mine. I'm really psyched to use it because my husband has a Playbook, so I think it feels really good in the hand. It's a nice size, and I feel like when I'm going to be reading my Kindle books, it's not going to fall on me like the iPad that I have. You know, in the middle of the night, it falls all over me. But I think this is going to be great, and I think I've already convinced a few of my friends who don't own iPads to get the Amazon Kindle.
Yeah, I mean it's great. I mean, like I'm super excited for it from a comic book standpoint because it's a great, you know, it's the same kind of form factor as the Nook Color, and it's a great, you know, kind of reading device. And that's the thing I don't think a lot of people really understand when it first came out. Everyone's like, oh, it's the iPad killer. It's gonna fight. It's not. It's the iPad. It falls in. Honestly, I think Amazon's targeting Barnes & Noble and the Nook Color way more than they're targeting the iPad with this. What they're saying is that, listen, like we've got a device that's like the Nook Color, but it does more. And it does media and it has a browser and you can do more with it. And the iPad is a different kind of device. It gives you more kind of applications that are out there, a different kind of interface, the wider screen. I do think Amazon's going to come out with a 10-inch next year to compete with the iPad. I think that's for sure. But for right now, I think this could be the real deal. I'm super psyched for it. I'm totally getting one.
I think it competes with the iPad in the sense that people who are on the fence, that you know, with a tablet, maybe haven't seen the tablet that kind of gives them a reason to really want it. And maybe that was the iPad because of its tight integration with the ecosystem. And now they kind of get that for a lot of dollars less, you know, through
Amazon.
Exactly.
Well, when I was selling my friend on this weekend, she said, well, can my daughter play, is there apps on there? I said, absolutely, there's apps. And just, you know, the ones that are really popular, the Angry Birds, the Fruit Ninjas, all of that. It's all going to be there because Amazon App Store is there. So you're going to get that and your books and movies and all of that. And there's so many people that have already bought into the Amazon ecosystem that are just going to jump on this.
I think it's totally a great device to grab those people who, like you said, who've been on the fence.
Yep.
The people that, if you look at a product like kind of the bell curve of a product life cycle, where early on you get a lot of early adopters and people willing to take risks, and then as you know adoption increases and you hit critical mass, I think this is going to help the tablet sector hit critical mass.
Yes.
Because you've got people who know Amazon, you've got people who aren't super techie, who you know don't need. Honestly, there's a flood of while there is a flood of Android apps out there, there's a flood of iOS apps out there. And this is really kind of focused on reading, consuming media, audio, video, games, you know, that sort of thing. And it's not really worried so much about an email client or a browser or this great, you know, like it's simplifying the idea of this tablet, which I think is really interesting. The Android marketplace on Amazon is just going to, I think, get stronger from it. Maybe I'm being too optimistic and too hyperbolic here, but I think that it's this, I mean, this is going to, and so many people have that Amazon brand connection. Okay. I know I'm a Prime member. It's perfect, right up my alley for it. I know, you know, I know people who aren't techie who are Prime members because they want the better shipping. Now that they get the video and they get the cloud storage and the music and all stuff like that, it's a real interesting game now, I think.
Well, not to diss our sponsor so much, but I have been purchasing more movies and TV shows or renting on Amazon lately because their catalog is starting to get, you know, it's starting to beef up and be competitive, like you said. So I love it. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I was excited before the announcement, and I'm still excited.
I'm super
excited.
Can't
wait to get that in my hands.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And you can already get the wonderful graphically comic book apps that are available on the Amazon Android marketplace, and they'll work on the Fire right out of the gate.
There you go.
Bada bing. Plug-ola.
Get the plug in there. Yeah. Sorry.
That's right.
But I'm excited for it. It's cool. It should be fun. But
I'm sure early on we'll get one of those on this show and take a look at it as early as we can.
I'm already trying. But so what I'm also excited for, though, is looks like there's a new event coming up from Samsung and Google that looks like it's going to announce the Nexus Prime. Looks like it's imminent. They've announced Samsung Mobile and Google have announced October 11th there'll be an event that people are being invited for, media folks. And it's gonna be really curious.
I'm
just gonna say, if only we knew someone who was going.
Oh, we do.
I'm going. Sorry. I'm so excited.
Go ahead, rub it in.
I just want it. It's like, I'm thinking, oh, are they going to give me a phone?
This is a Google I.O. Come on. Well, maybe they will.
Well,
that would be awesome.
This is a Google event.
That's true.
You know, it's going to be streamed youtube.com/Android for those of you who can't make it. But I'm going. I'm going to fly out immediately after our live Android Open show. I'm going to go and fly down to San Diego. So I'm
Jetting. We can share a ride to the
airport. I was going to let you know about that, Ron.
But it's funny that this comes up because actually this past weekend I was hanging out with Mauricio from App Judgment from Revision 3, and he was asking me about my Nexus S, and he's like, so are you ready to upgrade? And I was like, no, not really. And then I realized that this December my Nexus S will be a year old. And I was like, oh, maybe I am. And then sure enough, the Prime is coming. So maybe I will be ready for the next Nexus.
The upgrade time gets less and less every time, doesn't
it? Well, this is great because Google has some time after tomorrow's – well, we're recording Monday for Tuesday Apple announcement. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to hear sort of the rebuttals. You know, they've got a week now. I mean, I'm sure most of it's all baked. It's ready to go. But, you know, they'll be coming up with a few, you know points of interest, I think.
It's exciting. Challenge. Yeah, it's exciting in the sense that they realize how important it is for them to kind of come back with a you know a roundhouse kick after the Apple iPhone announcement.
For.
So
I'm so waiting for that
hopefully
kick.
We get lots of ice cream sandwich details and obviously the Nexus Prime, which I mean in my head has to really suck for me not to end up getting it.
You're gonna get it.
Well, it has to not
I'm
suck.
I'm thinking you will.
So
I'm gonna try to
at the top.
As long as it doesn't suck, I'm going to try to convince you not to get the Vigor and to get this.
Especially,
it's HTC. We just talked about the problems.
they do have problems. That is certainly a consideration, whether that rolls into the Vigor or not. But I think outside of that, why wouldn't I get the Nexus if it's on Verizon? It just doesn't make it, you know, and be one of the first few to ice cream sandwich. It doesn't make sense for me not to. Just a quick little email update on last week's episode, just because Google Voice is a pretty, you know, hot topic and we got a lot of feedback about it. So I wanted to just really quickly summarize a few pieces of feedback that we got from people, both pros and cons of Google Voice. Rick wrote in to say you can send SMS via Wi-Fi with Google Voice, and that's good for when you are out of the country or in a low signal area. So you've got some extra options with Google Voice, and he wanted to make sure that people knew about that. We got a few cons, though. We got a few downsides. I'm not calling these people cons or convicts. Wayne says Google Voice can't do SMS to email or email to SMS, as Google doesn't have or provide an email gateway service. I've never needed or thought about doing email to SMS, but now that I know about it, that's actually kind of a pretty nifty feature. Bummer that it's not there. Doug wrote in to say mobile users calling Google Voice numbers can get dinged for minutes, even if they have free mobile to mobile. And that's something I've read in a few different places. So if you have a plan where you're calling to the same, Verizon to Verizon minutes, and you're routing through Google, in a lot of cases, that then is kind of taken out of that plan. And it's just this random phone to that random phone, so you get targeted for those minutes. So keep that in mind. Not for every carrier. I know Sprint kind of works around
Sprint's
that, and maybe others do too. Allison wrote in to say Google Voice can't send international SMS. It seems like a lot of this really revolves around their SMS. They need to bulk up maybe the capabilities of SMS. And finally, Daniel wrote in with a very interesting link. I shortened it, bit.ly/ I can't say that, GV suggest for Google Voice suggest. And it's basically a feature suggestions page for Google Voice. And you can go there, and one of the features actually is send and receive MMS. So you can go in there when you're signed in and just click that and request that as a feature.
They already know.
It's like they know.
Yeah, they're totally. Just ranking it.
On this page, then they realize.
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of us are going to come up with something that they don't already know about.
Yeah. You never know. And there is a way that you can actually have another, if you have another idea, you can put it on down at the bottom. So, hey.
Honestly, the messaging, that's where I fell short. That's what basically was the deal breaker for me. It was the SMS MMS stuff. It was just too complicated to make it work. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
I suggested that.
Oh, you did?
No.
Okay.
I clicked the button.
Why, thank you. All right. And with that, let's move on to apps.
All right. So ever since I got my Android phone, I'm a huge Google Chrome user on the desktop. And while I love Chrome to phone, which sends links over to your browser on the phone, I've wondered why isn't there a Chrome version for Android?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, AndroidMe.com reports that that Google Chrome might be coming soon to Android. Some posts on Google's Chromium Code site hints that a future release of Chrome for Android. The revision log says that most desktop features will be included, as well as the Skia 2D graphics library that Google's been working on. So this is just a no-brainer. In fact, I'm surprised it's taken this long. Again, it's an example of one of the downsides of Google being the kind of company it is, where you've got a bunch of people working on things on little islands, and sometimes they don't talk to each other. And I know the Chrome team is different than the Android team, and it's hard to get them synced up and get it all working. But I would like a version of Chrome for my phone. That'd
I know
be nice.
We were talking about we went through all the browsers that one week, Firefox and.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Yeah. When I first got my Android phone, I just assumed that the browser that was on there was Chrome.
Me too.
I was like, this is their Chrome browser on Android, but it's not. It totally should be.
And what's funny is that the Google TV, which is running Android, has Chrome on it. Yeah, and so it's just like, they got it to work.
Interesting. Good point.
We'll see.
All right. Well, another release this past week was Flickr for Android. They haven't had an app for any platform until now, and they went ahead and did it only for Android. So when you launch the app, looks kind of like the homepage. Does anybody use Flickr anymore? I literally almost just got rid of it. I paid for the pro plan, and it's yearly, and I still have it, but I was thinking about dumping it, and now they have an app, and I have to say, I am actually using it. So you get to see your page. You can add a photo or take a picture. Let me add a photo here in my gallery. Whatever. I hope I don't have any incriminating photos here. Okay, here's the shark.
A shark.
A shark. Oh. And so here's what the app looks like. You get Let's see if it's. It looks kind of like Insta. It's kind of an Instagram. This is what Instagram. Flickr should have done this. Flickr should have been Instagram. Maybe Instagram should buy Flickr. Anyways. All right. So then you've got. I've loaded a picture here, and then you've got, I don't know, like 10 different filters. And you can just name it. You add it, and then it ends up on your stream. So congrats to Flickr for finally coming and, you know, making an app. But, man, I feel like it's a little too late. What do you guys think?
Didn't the same thing happen with the iOS 5? Didn't they just release a new iOS app as well? And it was like, ah, finally. I thought I heard people talking about that. Yeah, they've just been
I think
behind.
It's only for Android. Yeah, they're so behind. Yeah, who fell asleep there and didn't do this? That's what
it's Yahoo. Know. It's Yahoo. What do you expect?
Okay, he's taking.
Sorry, I'm
are you flickering?
Yeah, I'm flickering right now.
Well, both me and Ron in there. Okay. Yes. Anyway, so it's free out there in the marketplace. I've actually, since downloading the app, I've been using it more often. My Flickr page is a little more active than it used to be, and but there's just not as many people using. I mean, I don't know. A lot of photographers have jumped over to G+. I'm just saying they're late.
That's true.
They're so late. Well, I like the app. The app is great. It does what it needs to do, and you could, you know, add your comments, you know, even tag. I don't know.
It really does seem like everybody's kind of moved over to a certain degree to Google Plus. Its integration with Picasa.
Yeah.
Actually, and I've been using Picasa for a couple of years now, and it's perfectly feasible. In the beginning, it was like everybody was into Flickr. I was like, okay, well, I guess that's the one to do, but I wasn't willing to plunk down the money for it.
Yeah.
And so I never did, and I was limited by my uploads, and so that limited me from wanting to use it as much. And Picasa,
it's
I'm not running into a limit there. Believe me, I take a lot of pictures of my kids, so they all end up there, and I don't run into a limit.
It's funny that this came up because I was just browsing through my Flickr account, which I don't think I've updated since, like, I think, like, 2010, maybe, like, mid-2010.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow, that was a completely different life. I wonder what that guy was like.
I know, seriously.
How much has changed, yes.
Before the app came out, I think the last time I posted was probably 6 months prior.
You know what? Actually, why I stopped posting was because I used to use PixelPipe. And I had it routed when I would send a PixelPipe, and PixelPipe would publish across. And then when I upgraded a phone, PixelPipe didn't update or something happened, and I just stopped using it. So I stopped posting a Flickr.
Okay, it wasn't 6 months; it was 3.
Okay, still. I'm longer. Mine is at least 2010. So there you go.
Wow. All right. Well, I think it's time to bring in our interview with Ryan Oldenburg from HipMunk, who is the Android app developer. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yay, I'm so excited. I've actually used the HipMunk app on iOS devices, and I'm super excited that it's come to Android, and it's pretty much the same app, which is so awesome because a lot of times apps will come from iOS and may not necessarily look the same. They'll be missing features and whatnot, but this one is pretty much kind of, you know, the exact same app. Can you walk us through for those who aren't familiar with HipMunk?
Yeah, sure. Well, just in general, it was really important to me that the app was the same as the iOS app. I'm an Android user, have been for a long time, and I really don't like it when I get sort of the secondhand treatment with applications. So.
Exactly. RDO, I'm looking at you.
That.
Okay, anyways.
So when you first open the app, basically the form is really simple. You're going to pick where you're going from, where you're going to, which is the first two options there. So San Francisco's fine.
I'm going to go to San Diego, yeah, because I am going next week, but anyway.
Sure. So on those forms, if you were to type, it has a really fast autofill, it also holds on to your recent searches, which is really convenient because often you just want to go to the same place.
Well, maybe I want to go to New York, actually. I'm going to change
it. Or Nina, Wisconsin.
You could head to Milwaukee. and then the date picker is really similar to our iOS app. It was really well-liked there, and it makes it really easy to select when you want to go without worrying about folding over months or anything like that. So exactly, pick a few dates. And then underneath that, you have your class and passenger options. We hold on to that based on what you've set it at in the past. Mm. You know, you can pick business, coach first, and then you just hit search.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go coach because there's a recession. So,
so now... As the app is getting your results, the HipMunk's there to keep you company, and then you do see a little tip on how to, you know, use the app better next time. And quick search, you get your results back, and they're sorted default by what we call agony, which is pretty much a universally better sort than just price, which is what a lot of other sites do, in that if we can get you a direct flight for $10 more, we're going to want to put that on the top. So,
absolutely.
That's, you know,
I appreciate that completely.
Yeah, it's just organizing by price is really inconvenient. You can actually switch to it with the tab on the bottom, and you can see how, you know, all of a sudden you've got these flights with layovers in there kind of mixing up your results. You don't really want those.
No way.
And then if you do depart, you get a really cool flow through the day if you kind of fling along. It's really kind of nice. And that's important, too, if you say, really need to get out of town by 11 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
You can see what your options are and just call it that. And then same for arrive, which is the furthest option. Just sort of orients it to the other side.
I like that so you now, can see the Wi-Fi options, too, on planes. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. And then also, if you actually pinch and zoom, you can lengthen out the bars and get a little bit more information. So then you can see what you're flying on. And then if you have a layover and there's enough room, I'll actually put the label there for where your layover is.
Ooh, Philadelphia for this one. Okay.
Yeah. But if you go ahead and pinch back, zoom out, back to the default zoom, and then if you touch one of the flight bars, it'll actually pop open and give you even more information. Hmm. So you can see the airport you're flying from, what time you're taking off, where you're going to land, when you're landing, and how long the flight is. And if you have layovers, it also tells you how long the layover is up on the top. So it makes it really easy to pop through a couple options, see what it is you really want. And then if you're curious, you can also hit the arrow on the right of a popped open one, and that'll bring up all the details we have about the flight, including flight number, who you're flying on, what you're flying on, such as an Airbus here. Basically, all the information you could ever want is laid out right there. And then if you select that leg, it just takes you over to your return flight options.
Ah, okay.
So since we selected a U.S. Airways, U.S. Airways is going to be our options for returning. And if we want to go a little faster this time, you can actually just hit the price button, and it'll select that leg, too. So just like that. So now at the top, we can book the flight through U.S. Airways for... exactly. It takes you right there.
Takes you to the browser. Out of the
app,
right? Yeah.
Out of the app, yes.
And is going straight to U.S. Airways, I think?
Exactly.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you can book it through their website there.
Okay.
Or if you hit back, nice thing about Android, you're just right back in the app, right where you left.
Uh-huh. All right.
And then in the summary, again, you could see the flight you had selected. And then what's really nice that I think only we at Hipmunk do is we have the finish code, which is, let's say you ran the search on your phone as you were walking home. You're going to be at a computer soon. You can just go to finish.hipmunk.com and enter that code, and it'll bring up your same booking option. So you can do it at a computer instead of having to deal with it on your phone.
Okay. So say you're on the train. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do a quick search. Really?
Yeah.
And then, oh, but I want to do it all over the computer later. Okay. It looks like there's an email option here, too. Is that?
Yes.
Oh, I see. You could share. There's tons of share options.
Exactly. So Gmail, K9 Mail, all those really popular third-party apps, you can go ahead and use them. And basically, you're just sending your booking options to yourself, a friend, coworker, however you want to get your booking done.
Kevnetic in the chat room actually has a pretty good question. Do you have any plans to have Hipmunk work with like corporate sites like American Express Travel, something like that?
That's a good question. You know, we haven't really talked about that, but that is something we'll have to consider. I spent the last 3 months sort of poring over the Android app, so I don't really know all the details of our bigger direction. But that is a good question.
And have you developed, and they hired you specifically for, Hipmunk hired you specifically to develop the Android app. And have you developed for other apps?
Yeah. So I actually got into Android after getting the original Droid on release day.
Oh, and okay.
So,
OG.
So, exactly. I've been around for, the first app I developed was actually a Tetris clone. It ended up getting close to 400,000 downloads in 3 months, which was awesome, except the real Tetris company kind of caught on to me.
So you probably got booted out at some point.
I got booted off the Android market, exactly. You know, when something like that happens as a developer, you kind of find a home. You know, it's not every day you can have that kind of success, and it's really exciting what the App Store makes possible.
What kind of development have you done before you got into developing for Android, if any?
Yeah, well, I have sort of been playing around with it since middle school. It's been sort of a hobby. I started with websites, did a little bit of server-side code, business apps. Actually, I worked at a bank in college. But I really liked Android because it was very modern feeling. It didn't have any sort of past to carry with it, which was really cool. And then you get 400,000 downloads. Exactly. And then you get 400,000 downloads and you don't leave.
Right. It feels pretty good.
It does.
You know, it's interesting timing bringing you on right now because I'm sure you're fully aware of Google's acquisition of ITA. So they've kind of got their own kind of travel thing happening. And they actually last week released their own app called On the Fly in the Android market that does something, attempts to do something very similar to what you guys are doing. How would you say Hipmunk kind of differentiates itself from the other travel apps that are in the Android market?
I've actually played around with the app and I'll admit it's not bad, which is saying a lot considering a lot of Android apps tend to not be wonderful. But the big thing about Hipmunk is, you know, we don't just get your flight data and then just sort of let you pick. You know, we use Agony to really show you the best flight at the top. It's very rare that people will pick a flight that isn't in the top three just because they're really not as good of an option. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we do is filter out results that are strictly worse, which allows you to have less things to even worry about in the first place if you care about something that isn't at the top. And you'd be surprised how many flights get cut out like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have our way of making flights easier and more visual, and we think that that is a really compelling way to do it.
Yeah, and I would imagine it has to be that visual if you're going to be on your kind of Android app or on your Android phone on the small device doing something as, well, kind of complex in the bigger picture as like planning a trip, you know, planning your flights for a trip. It has to be kind of visually appealing and useful in that way.
Yeah. Well, and it lends itself to it naturally. You know, you can just see how long that flight is, whether you have a layover, what you're flying on, when it happens in the day, all in 10 seconds just by looking at your results. You're not browsing through. You're not trying to read text. You know, when you get used to it, it makes it so easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed on the website, I will admit I have not actually used Hipmunk to plan a trip yet, but I really like what I've seen. I noticed on the website that you have an optional return for one way. Is that on the phone or did I miss that?
You didn't. It is on the phone. It's not perfectly clear yet. That's one thing I'm going to improve as I continue to work on the app. But on the date picker, if you actually just select one date, it does say that the return is optional. And if you don't enter it, you do a one-way search. So if you go into the, you can do clear form.
Clear form. All right. So let's just.
Yeah. So if you just don't select the
What do I?
Yeah. So if you open the date picker and then select your departing date, you'll see now it says optional. If you just don't select the return date, go ahead and hit done and you'll run a one-way search. But I think that that's not as transparent as I can make it, so that's an improvement I have in mind.
I feel like it is enough for me to have noticed it when I was doing it. But yeah, okay, cool.
I'm never coming back. wow, yeah, these are cheaper flights. Yep, never coming back. Bye, guys.
see you later. We'll get another host.
Yeah, see you. Yeah. Well, I can Skype.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Ron, do you have any questions? I mean, have you used Hipmunk yet?
Not really. I haven't used it yet. And I used to work in the hospitality business. I used to work for a hotel company, so I definitely know the challenges with trying to do a pricing grid and getting into a solid UI that lets people select their options and that sort of thing. And flights are notoriously so many different variations and so many different changes. So I'm really impressed with it. I'm gonna download it and check it out. Is it just flights? Or are you gonna expand out to rental cars and hotels and things like that? Or
next up is hotels. Basically, it's a really natural thing to want to do on the go. I mean, you know, whenever I take day or a couple day trips, like specifically when I drove to Wisconsin to San Francisco to move out here, you know, I spent my lunch trying to figure out where I was going to stay that night, you know, because I didn't know how long I was going to drive or something until I kind of got into it. And it really was not something that was very convenient to do on a phone, but it should be. So that's our next goal.
Cool. Well, yeah, I do probably more hotel booking than I do airline, you know, because I tend to stick to the airlines that I fly and I go to the websites directly. But hotel selection is definitely even more of a challenge with different variations. So I'll be curious to see how you guys do with that. But I'm going to check this app out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Do we have any other questions?
No, you know, Ron stole my question. I really was very curious to see kind of what was on the horizon. But no, I will definitely agree with you that, you know, in the Android world, and especially in comparison to like the iOS counterparts, mm-hmm. you know, we're always kind of looking for a functional app that's enjoyable to use, as enjoyable to look at as it is to, you know, the process of using it and everything. And Hipmunk kind of seems to encapsulate that, obviously, because you've really modeled it after what was so successful in iOS. So I totally give you props for that. It's a good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, it's funny. The iOS developer was the guy who I worked on to do the design. So it was sort of funny for him to be working on Android, but.
Yeah. Did he make any, like, did you kind of walk away from that experience with any sort of opinions that he might have had between developing for iOS and then kind of being exposed to the Android side of things?
At first, it was a little bit tricky to kind of keep things really feeling Android and to explain, you know, the back button makes it so you don't need to have these done buttons or back buttons on the screen. Mm-hmm. But he picked it up right away. He's a great designer, great coworker, and we really hit a home run and enjoyed doing it. So
now, I think. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I also think he plans on writing a blog post to discuss his thoughts on it. So that really should be an interesting read. But
that would be interesting. Hey, is the app tablet optimized by any chance? I'm just wondering, because there's a flurry of tablets out there.
Yeah, no. So it isn't yet. It will run on a Honeycomb tablet just fine, but you can kind of tell it's not the best experience when compared to a phone. But especially with the new Kindle Fire coming out and with Galaxy Tab 10.1 kind of being a hit, 7-inch, who knows what'll happen. I do want to make it look better on Honeycomb. I just didn't want to make people on the phones wait while I did that. So
I think it's a really interesting point that you just kind of mentioned, especially with the Kindle Fire coming out.
Yeah.
This could really kind of signal kind of a little bit of a sea change for developers, seeing the value of spending the extra time developing for tablets. Mm-hmm. Not that there aren't already a lot of Android tablets out there, but now you've got this ridiculously low price pointed, Amazon tablet that has the name behind it. And suddenly people, you know, I would imagine developers are kind of opening their eyes a little bit wider as far as kind of the possibilities of monetizing their extra efforts on developing for tablets.
Yeah, I did. I definitely agree. It's going to be interesting to see what they've done with the UI and how apps have to change to feel right on that platform, mm-hmm. even though it's still Android. And then the other thing that's really going to sort of mess up, and hopefully for a good way, the Android world will be Ice Cream Sandwich, to see what becomes the new way an app is supposed to feel.
Totally.
Because that's important. To me personally, I want anything I work on to really feel solid. So
awesome. Well, I think you've done a good job of that already.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you. Thank you very much.
That'll continue. Ryan Oldenburg of Hipmunk, that's HIPMUNK, for those audio listeners that may have not heard of it before, hipmunk.com. Check it out, and you can find the app for free in the Android market. It's a great app.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, and you're welcome to come back on at any time, right?
That's right.
Hey, I wouldn't mind. It's been a great time.
Yeah. Keep us posted on big revisions and stuff. We'll absolutely bring it back.
Yeah, no, will do. Thanks again.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's not waste any more time and get into the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right, we are in the arena. And where do we begin when we are in the arena? We begin with last week's arena.
Oh, yeah. Who won that?
There's that.
We celebrate last week's winner.
We celebrate?
Yes, by giving him a pay increase.
All right, fine.
I forgot.
Fine, we knew you were going to win, Ron. Go ahead and rub it in.
Did I get Brazil again?
Last week.
I didn't get Brazil.
Last week was Notepads, and Evernote won, as expected, with 66% of the votes. SpringPad, second at 18%. CatchNotes at 16%. I feel like I let the CatchNotes team down.
Jason, you did your best.
You even
grabbed Brazil from me.
Well,
my
see,
God,
sometimes. I like how this is becoming a high tech game of Risk.
It really is.
Well, Colombia, I love you. Thank you, Colombia, for voting for me. And did Poland? I think Poland. Hello, Poland. I would love to visit you too.
It's just all that purple. It's just hard to see the other colors.
It's true. Glad, all right, fine.
I'm glad I won this one purely because it's truly an app that I use a lot.
And
you know what I mean?
Like,
yeah, exactly. So
good. Suck. All right, good, fine, whatever. You win.
Ron's great. Like, suck it in, Jason. Right. I win.
So I got to see if I can pull this up. So this week we're going with, you know, just another straightforward grab bag. We're going to continue to do this a little bit more.
Shaking it up.
And mine, I realized as I was reviewing it, is another one of those instances where it's not always about how many things your app can do. It's oftentimes about how well does it do that one thing. And actually, very recently, the app called Pano was released. And from what I understand, this was a pretty popular iOS app,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was.
And essentially, it is a, well, you could probably guess that it's more or less it's a panographic photo tool, essentially. It's a camera based around creating panographic pictures. And there really is not a whole lot to show off from the app level, and that's kind of a testament to just how easy it is. This is the screen that you get when you first open it up. You have a way to take your picture. You have a way to change the orientation. So do you want your panographic pictures to be horizontal, or do you want them to be vertical? And I actually have found had a lot of success keeping them vertical, because then it means that not only do I end up with a really wide picture, but it also ends up being a little bit taller as a result. And you know, it's just one of those apps. I'm sure everybody has used a panographic app at one point or another, where, you know, you take your picture and then you wait and then you line up the grids and you move it over and then you take your picture and you have to be really still and everything. But the reason I like Pano is just because the results have just been awesome. I feel like the stitching that it does, it really does seem like it takes a lot of time to actually analyze the photos, and it's kind of going through and, you know, detecting patterns and matching them up, and it puts all the photos together, matches up those patterns to make sure that everything's kind of lined up as best as it can, and then it crops it so that it's a perfect kind of rectangle at the end, and you end up with a pretty sizable photo. Yeah, it's kind of hard to see here because in Google Plus, I can't really, I wonder if I could zoom in artificially here.
Ooh, that's
but
nice.
So this is down at the pier earlier today, and you know, this only really took me about a minute to do. I think this is comprised of like 9 different pictures. But it stitches them together really well. I can see a few different areas where I'm a little tilted in the rooftops here. And they even, you know, say as well that this works definitely the best with photos that are of, you know, like vistas and views from afar. Anytime you end up with kind of near, you know, things that are nearer in your view, you end up with little kind of mismatches as you're going around. But things in the from afar, I really wanted to get to kind of an open, unrestricted view of the ocean and try and take a picture of that today, but I didn't. I ran out of time. But I've been having a lot of fun, and I even tried this, which was unsuccessful, but still ended up looking funky. I was like, well, I wonder what happens if instead of rope pivoting around, I like shuffle to the side, you know, and try and line it up, and it didn't really work out that well, but it kind of looked kind of funky. But I just really like the quality of the pictures on Pano, and it's dead simple. It pretty much walks you right through start to finish, and I have to imagine that the quality of those panographic photos on iOS are the reason why it's, you know, a popular force there, and I was happy to see it on Android. There really isn't a whole lot more to say about that. You can, you know, do your typical things. You can share it off at that point. It adds it to your gallery, so you have them there. It's $2.99. It's a little, you know, for a single purpose app, I would say I would appreciate a little bit less than that. But I'm fine to pay it because I'm going to be using this a lot, and I have used it a lot over the weekend. So again, it's Pano, and P-A-N-O. I guess it's $3.06. Sorry.
I really think your next phone should be the phone that they feature there on their Android Marketplace page. That long phone.
What? Wait, let me see.
Yeah,
that
go
again.
Ahead.
What
go
does
ahead.
It look like?
Pull that back up.
Oh yeah, that should be your phone.
I totally want that phone.
Interesting. That is a very interesting looking phone. I don't know.
Oh, it's not a real phone.
We need a purse for that. Yeah. A man purse.
How do you carry that around?
I can put that in my purse. But.
There we go. Well, so it's Pano, so check it out. I like it a lot.
Okay.
It's a good photo app.
I guess I'll go next. And my app is related to a question we got from Kenny in Ohio, who emailed a couple times. So, Kenny, I gotcha on this one. Hello, All About Android crew. I like the show and I listen to it every week. My question is, I'm looking for different radio apps to listen to sports. I know MLB, NHL, and NFL has their own apps to listen to the games, but are there any Android apps to listen to live sports games on Android? Also, what are your favorite radio apps for Android? That's really what I'm answering right now, but it's kind of related. Thanks and keep up the good work. All right, Kenny. Well, my app today is an oldie but goodie and one that I just keep going back to all the time. It's called TuneIn Radio, and it's 99 cents. I'm going to recommend the pro version because it's 99 cents. Just get it. You don't have to have ads or anything. So when I launch TuneIn Radio Pro, what you'll see is a lot of options here. You could listen to your local radio, and it'll pull up all based on your location. So here are all the local radio stations you can listen to and stream over the air, or they've got some recommended. Then there's also different categories, music, talk, and for Kenny, sports. This might work for you, depending upon your location. There's also by language, and look at down there, podcasts. If I go to technology, who am I going to pull up here? I hope I do it right. The tech guy, Leo Laporte, the tech guy is on there, so we give them a little extra shout out. Okay, now what happens is when you pick a station, it'll play, it'll stream online. And what I like about it is that, let's see here, I'll pick adult and contemporary, sorry guys. Well, these aren't really radio stations. Let me go to an actual radio station. Music, what kind of music, Ron? Tell me. Alt rock?
Alt rock, probably.
Alt rock, all right, I'll go alt rock. And then...
Ooh, BBC Radio 1.
All right, I'll go BBC or Radio
XFM.
1.
Yeah, XFM.
Let's see if I have. Sometimes it takes a bit to stream, depending upon your carrier and your. It's buffering. It's going to play, and there we go. What I love about this, and if you could see, is you could actually record what you're listening to. So I'm going to record what I'm listening to right now and save it for later.
Cool.
I love this song. I don't know what this song is. Sure, I can Shazam it. I can't really Shazam it while I'm in this app. But you can record however long you want. You could even go back 10 seconds. What was that? What was that lyric? Oh, wait. What was that lyric? Let me go back 10 seconds. There's a 10 seconds button. You can pause. You can stop. And then when you're in a radio station, you can actually add it to your favorites. You can email, share it on Facebook, Twitter, email. And then you can even get like a schedule, a complete schedule of what that radio station will have on whatever time, which I really like. There's even a set sleep timer option and alarm options you could wake up to your favorite radio station.
The quality sounds pretty good.
It's not bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll show you the actual. Now, I have made some recordings from earlier today. And now I have them saved. You saw you can have as many recordings as you want, and then it'll play. It's exactly where I started recording, just a few minutes. What you could do is you could save songs. So say you're listening to a radio station and they have a certain song up, you could save it. And then, I like that Bruno Mars song. And then they'll give you an option. It's sort of like a reminder. When a radio station's playing, you hit save song, and then it'll put it into your songs tab, and then you can buy it later if you want.
Cool.
So, I don't know. I just, I shouldn't have turned it off. But for you, Kenny, again, there's sports talk, and you can just go to your sort of sports station now. It lists local up for me at the top, and then it just starts sort of randomizing, probably by popularity here. A lot of them are ESPN. Wow.
ESPN, it is. They've taken over.
Say Clear Channel radio stations are not here because they have their own app. It's called iHeartRadio.
Oh, so, right. I've heard that one.
Yeah, which is a really good app, too. But what I like about this, the killer feature for me, you know, when you're listening to songs, and you're like, oh, I want to record that, but I can't. Guess what? You can. So, I don't know. I like, there's a ton of radio stations here, lots of different categories, and it's been one of my favorite apps for a very, very, very long time. And that's TuneIn Radio Pro for 99 since.
Cool.
All right.
Toss it to you, Ron.
All right. So my turn. So I decided to go with an application that I've been using quite a bit actually recently. And it's funny because it's a application category that we've got a lot of options in. But for some reason, I just stick with this app. And it's called WhatsApp. And it's basically a group messaging client. The reason why I started using it was because my brother-in-law is on a BlackBerry. My sister's on Verizon on an Android. I'm on an Android. While I have unlimited text messaging, they don't. We're texting all each other so much, you know, coordinating things like that. And my sister said, you know, hey, I need an app that me and my husband can use and not pay text messages. And so I found WhatsApp. It's got compatibility across platforms. So it runs an app on the iPhone, on Android, on BlackBerry, whatever it is. And basically it's text messaging, but minus SMS. So it's utilizing your network connection and sending out a text message or sending out the text messages through their application platform. So for example, my friend who lives in Rome, she's on an iPhone, and it's incredibly expensive for us to text each other. But she installed WhatsApp, I installed WhatsApp, and then we're able to talk to each other. It does a really cool kind of feature where it scans through your contacts, and then every user on WhatsApp kind of registers with WhatsApp's user database, but it matches people who's already in WhatsApp's user database with the contacts in your phone. So you're already set up and ready to go right out of the gate. It can be one-to-one messaging. It can be group messaging, so you can add multiple people to kind of a chat. It's very similar to Beluga, which came out a few months ago and then immediately got snapped up by Facebook. And I actually thought that either Google Huddles or the Facebook messaging app would replace my use of WhatsApp because all the people I use WhatsApp with are on those platforms. But for some reason, WhatsApp has persisted. And I think it's because it's got that innate likability and that it just does what it's trying to do very well. There's a whole bunch of different customizations that you can do. You can change the background of the application. You can change the visual style of the way the text, you know, text messages appear, things like that. But all in all, it's pretty simple. It's just group messaging done well. So no extra charges with your phone carrier. It, you know, leverages all your data plan. So it's, it doesn't take up a lot of data. It's just short, text message bursts. You can send photos, which is pretty cool too. So you can attach a photo into a conversation. So you can take a picture of your kid and share it with your best friends and, other media like audio or video. Pretty much you can take any sort of media and attach it to the message. It's a pretty impressive app and it just does what it does really well. And it's cross-platform, which I think is – which not a lot of applications really – I think that's kind of the future of applications is that people are realizing that some people are iPhone people, some people are Android people. How can we build an application that leverages both platforms and gets to more users? So, and the best of all, it's free.
I know.
So, I know, at least for Android. I believe they might call, they might charge for others. I forget. I have to check. But at least the Android one is free. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
I was trying to download so that we could show it. We failed for you, Ron. I'm sorry.
That's
not
okay.
That we don't
I'm
want
sorry.
You to win.
But you're gonna win anyways.
And it's also got push notifications. The design on the push notifications are really nice. It's not too obtrusive. I do have one complaint about it though, is that I prefer vibrate over audio.
Yeah.
And when you're on the phone, it vibrates the phone when you're on it. I had to turn off vibration completely. There was no don't vibrate when I'm on the phone option yet. So that's something I'm looking forward to for them to add. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can, it can vibrate when you're not on the phone, but it should not vibrate when you're on the phone because then the other person hears the buzz and it's not good.
Right. So, and it can be distracting too.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree. I hate it when those notifications come through when I'm on the phone.
Like, it's miserable.
It pulls me out of my conversation for a second. Yeah. Cool. Well, so those are the three apps. Let's see. Once again, it's Pano, which is about $3 in the market. TuneIn Radio, which is 99 cents. It's actually TuneIn Radio Pro. And WhatsApp, which is free. Go to bit.ly/28AAA poll. Swapping it up there.
Ooh,
28AAA poll.
Everybody tried to guess, I bet.
In the past they have, but no one got it this time. So bit.ly/28AAA poll and let us know which your favorite app is from this episode of All About Android.
And I'm really hoping WhatsApp resonates with the people of Brazil because I need that in order to help my risk board.
You're gonna take Brazil from me too? No, I've owned Brazil for weeks until last week.
Well, you know.
Now Jason has it, so I want to get it back.
Right.
So, and then
I want it back.
Next, I'll be going after Kamchatka and then Siam.
I'm just sticking with Idaho. If I get Idaho, I'm happy. So there we go.
Look at me making vague risk jokes.
I love it. This really needs to be a game. We won't be covering the details of this next week because we'll be at Android Open. But we will cover it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, because we won't have an arena next week. Sorry,
that's right.
Guys.
Yeah, no arena at Android Open. We're definitely doing a different type of show from the floor there.
It'll be fun, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be more like an interview-ish type show.
Yeah.
But I imagine 2 weeks from now, grab bag, just because
we
can
pick
one.
Yeah, let's do a grab bag.
Let's do it.
Maybe I'll do it. I was going to do a game for this week, and I just didn't have time. Everybody recommended.
Do you want to do a games one? We haven't done that in a while.
I can do a game one. I got one ready. I got one waiting in the wings.
You do?
All right, so we're doing games.
Okay, because we got 2 weeks, so I got 2 weeks to play a game. I already know which one I'm doing.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Don't say it. Keep it a surprise.
Really?
Bring it.
We'll do games in a couple of weeks, surprise. And it'll be awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for this week.
Woo-hoo!
So we're going to end the show and start getting our questions ready for next week.
I know.
And feeling a little bit of the pressure.
These smart people at Android Open and O'Reilly people.
I think it'll go.
We could do it.
There's three of us.
They're way smarter than us. I've been to O'Reilly conferences before.
That's the thing, right?
They're very smart people.
That's what I'm nervous about. Yeah. No.
We're totally in over our head. Totally.
Yeah. This should be really interesting. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll go okay. There's three of us, right?
Hi, my name
Strength
is.
In numbers.
I host a show called
The End. Hey, Ron, go ahead and plug away.
All right, so if you are curious by my dumb comments, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO, or you can go to about.me/RonXO, and I've got all my links to Facebook and Google+ and all that stuff there. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I work for a company called Graphically that does digital comics. Android apps available on Android Marketplace and Amazon and the Barnes & Noble Nook. So if you're into comics, definitely check out Graphically.com.
All right, and Eileen.
I'm on Twitter at EileenTV, but it's not very interesting over there. Go ahead and follow me on Google+. Right, Ron?
Yes, gplus.to/EileenTV.
I'm happy you're here, Ron.
I'm like your PR rep. Listen, if you want to
what is that thing again? I need to just put it in the doc so I see it all the time. I forget. Sorry.
Yeah, I forget
too. Gplus.whatever.
I'm Raygun01 on Twitter, and you can find me gplus.to/Raygun01, I hope, or just search for Jason Howell on Gplus. But that's it for this week's show. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or video mail if you prefer, aaa@twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. The show is at Android Show. Show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us every Monday evening live between 5 to 7-ish p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. And that's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week from Android Open. And we hope you'll join us. See you guys later.